Well, we're beginning our tour of the universe now with a trip to Saturn and one of its tiny moons, which is called Enceladus. Now, when the Cassini spacecraft flew there in 2005, researchers noticed that there were some very strange hot spots around the south pole of this tiny moon, and they now discovered that these hot spots actually give rise to a gigantic geyser, and it erupts regularly, a bit like Old Faithful here on Earth. But the geyser on Enceladus is on a totally different scale entirely, because when it erupts, it sends enough material out into the air of that tiny moon to make it all the way out into space and even join up and make some of Saturn's famous rings. And one of the researchers who's been looking at the phenomenon is NASA's Terry Herford, and he joins us now. Hi, Terry.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. So what powers this beast that you've seen on Enceladus?
Well, there's some question about what the heat source is. Enceladus is so small that it should have cooled off a long time ago. But something has kept this moon warm, and it's most likely tidal friction. Because of its orbit, it's constantly reshaping itself, and the reshaping dissipates heat internally through friction. And that probably ultimately powers the geysers.
So how does that actual heating process work? Why should just orbiting a planet make this moon warm?
Well, if it were in a circular orbit, it probably wouldn't be warm. But it's in an orbit that's not completely circular. And so because it's not circular, the distance of Saturn is changing constantly, and the position of Saturn in the sky is changing. And so this constantly causes the body to reshape itself. And in the process of reshaping itself, it dissipates heat.
So it's a bit like rubbing your two hands together and you get some warmth between them.
Right.
So when that happens, how does that give rise to this phenomenal 500-mile-high jet of water on the south pole of this moon?
Well, in the process of warming itself, it can create some liquid water in the South Pole, and when that liquid water is exposed to the vacuum of space, it can then erupt at speeds that allow it to then escape the surface. And because the body is so small, it doesn't take very much velocity to actually get things off the body and into orbit around Saturn.
And why is it only the South Pole, then, that's giving rise to this phenomenon? Why don't we see these things spurting out all over this moon? Because it must be getting tugged and squashed all over the place.
That's a good question, too. In the process of heating the body, some of the material is warmer, and that material has a lower density, and it causes the whole body to reorient itself so that warmer area is located at one of the poles, either the North Pole or the South Pole. In this case, it just happened to go to the South Pole.
And what does this tell you, because obviously you're now studying this using Cassini, what does this tell you about what the structure of that moon must be? Is there presumably a big source of liquid water underneath then somewhere, and could there be life in there even?
Yeah, the work that I've done is looking at stresses in the South Pole and seeing when the features in that location open and close because of the tides. The tidal stresses pull open some of the fractures, and when it pulls open the fracture, it then allows the liquid water to be exposed and allows the eruptions to occur. In order for the stresses to be high enough to do this, I speculate that there's got to be a global ocean of water underneath an icy crust, similar to Europa, a moon of Jupiter.
And so if you've got liquid water and it's warm enough to give rise to a sort of geyser phenomenon, that suggests that you could end up with similar situations that you've got here on Earth around hydrothermal vents, so you could see life there.
Right. That makes it a very interesting place to look for microbial life or some sort of simple life forms.
And so how are you going to get to the bottom of that? Because it's obviously not convenient to take about 3 million-mile trip to go and drop by Saturn and take samples. Is there a way to answer that question simply?
Well, the fact that we have the geysers erupting means that liquid water is somehow getting up to the surface and ultimately into space. So you may not have to actually land something on Enceladus to look and see what kind of things are inside the water since it's being transported to you. And it's much more convenient on Enceladus to look for this and then on Europa, because Europa has a very thick ice shell, and it would be very hard to get to the liquid water underneath it, whereas Enceladus may not be as thick, and of course the water is getting right up to the surface.
Thanks, Terry. Terry Herford from NASA Goddard over in the States has been studying Enceladus, which is this tiny moon right up against Saturn with this phenomenal geyser phenomenon happening on its surface. Helen.
You're listening to The Naked Scientists, and of course we have waiting in the wings Maggie Turnbull, who'll be telling us all about what she's found out about extraterrestrial life. And here in the studio we have astronomer Carolyn Crawford, who's waiting to answer your questions on galactic interstellar science, anything like that.
Now, as you know, at The Naked Scientists we try and tackle all your burning science questions, but sometimes you ask something really rather difficult and we're really rather stuck for an answer.